Good evening. We are getting ready for Anointed Temple of Praise, Christian Church, Disciples of Christ, the Monday Manna Bible Study. We are here and we are ready to rock and roll.
Well, we certainly hope and pray that each of you have had a blessed day today and that you're ready to get started. We're going to be in the Song of Solomon tonight, and it's referred also to the Song of Songs, and we're going to talk a little bit about that. I think this first chapter, Lady Kim, has about 17 verses in it, and I believe we'll be able to cover that tonight. And so we're back into the books of wisdom, and Song of Solomon will be the last one that we will carry us perhaps even through the end of the year. And so we praise God for each of you. Just let us know the sound is coming in clear. Whatever platform you're on, we're going to try to monitor those. But we do praise God for each of you. Took a little break last week. We didn't have Bible study. We were trying to make sure that we were not too far ahead of ourselves. And so we backed up a little bit so that we can be on point to close out this study of the books of wisdom on a timely manner in line with what they're doing on Wednesday noonday as well. So let's get ready to get started. Hope each of you are doing well. Let us know you're getting a good signal and that the sound is coming in as we prepare for this time together. Let's go to God in prayer. God, we bless you and we honor you. We thank you for this day. We thank you that you are our God. You are our strength. You are our keeper. And so we love you because you are our healer and deliverer, and that all power is within your hands. And so, God, we pray now that you will sustain us in this time, that we will study your word, and that we will grow as a result of studying your word, and that our faith will increase. We pray for each person that's going to be on this virtual call tonight, and those who will perhaps even view this Bible study later. And God, we pray that you would just move in a powerful and a mighty way, that you would do something special as a result of us desiring to study your word. You told us that we had to study to show ourselves approved unto you, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. So God, help us now as we prepare for this time together, not just to be hearers of the word, but to be doers of the word. Now may the words of our mouths and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable in your sight. You are our strength and our redeemer. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. And praise God. All right, we're going to be in Song of Solomon, also called the Song of Songs tonight, the first chapter, and we're going to give a little introduction as we prepare for this time together tonight. And we certainly missed not being on Bible study last week, but I hope that each of you have had an opportunity to read what we're going to study tonight. There are only 17 verses. And we're looking forward to what God is going to do in this time together. Another great experience in worship on yesterday and the whole weekend. Lady Kim, you want to just kind of maybe fill us in on some of the things that took place or how the Lord was speaking to you on yesterday?
Well, yes, on yesterday it was a great time in the Lord. You talked about the power principles for our productivity, power principles for our productivity. And the scripture was Romans, the 12th chapter, verses 10 through 12. Just a few of those. Hey, good evening, Dr. Crystal. Be kindly affectionate one to another with brotherly love, in honor, preferring one another, not slothful in business, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord, rejoicing in hope, patient in tribulation, continuing instant in prayer. And you have several points that you mentioned when you were talking about those power principles for productivity. You know, sometimes it's hard to be productive.
Yeah.
You know, some of us waste a lot of time, you know, and don't accomplish anything. But then there are other days where you accomplish a whole lot and you're very productive. Mm-hmm. But the Bible, this particular passage of scripture you said gives us some specific points,
okay,
so to speak. pointers or principles for productivity. And your first one was that we have to decide we're going to like people.
That's right.
You know, it says be kindly affectionate one to another with brotherly love. Mm-hmm. That means we need to learn how to love people despite their flaws, despite what's going on in their life. Excuse me.
Bless you.
Despite what's going on in their life, we have to learn how to love each other.
That's right.
As Christ has loved us.
That's right. And there's power in a loving church. And part of what we were really trying to emphasize in that first point was how we need to be extensions of God's love. And it makes no difference what the person that we encounter may look like or smell like or how they might dress. We have a responsibility as believers to let our light shine in that situation and extend to them the same love that was extended to us.
That's true.
And so many times it's very disappointing when you find out those of us who have made a confession of faith and have accepted the Lord as our Savior, but we have a problem with liking people, you know. Mm-hmm. And some people don't like people, but I believe that that's a powerful principle that will help breakthrough happen. If we learn how to like people and love people unconditionally as God has so loved us. As a matter of fact, October, we're going to be just extending that whole love parameter and giving people understanding that opportunity to understand how important we need to be and how important it is for us to be in tune with the love that has been extended to us.
Okay, good.
That was just the first point, Lady Kim, and I didn't mean to cut you off there, but I wanted to jump in because I did a study quite a few years ago on the power of a loving church. Mm-hmm. And I tell you, that really, it opened up a lot for people to see how important it is for us and to extend that love, and how we shouldn't be mean, we shouldn't be negative, we shouldn't be ornery. People don't want to come into the church and have to deal with some of the stuff they are trying to get away from, maybe even their own home or on their job. The church ought to be a place where people feel comfortable and they feel loved, they feel appreciated. They don't have to worry about people looking cross-eyed at them and wondering, you know, what they're doing and all of that. And so that's what I was trying to really bring home with that principle. Mm-hmm. Why are you looking at me like that?
I was just thinking that maybe the power of a loving church might be something you might need to go back to, because mm-hmm. That's always important. Okay. I mean, if you can't find love in the church, I mean, where are you going to go?
That's right. That's
you know,
right.
So that's powerful. The power of a loving church is okay. important.
So that's yes. why you were looking at me like that?
Yeah, because I was remembering what
had happened with that study.
Right.
That was a little book I had.
That was a book, remember? Yeah, mm-hmm. And I was thinking about that for Sunday.
So I'm going to probably have to pull that up, because you're up to bat this Sunday, and we're going to use the theme for love mm-hmm. for the month of October. And yes, that's probably something that you might be able to find online mm-hmm. and might be able to just use your digital book. What do they call it?
The Kindle.
Uh-huh. Your Apple. Books. Uh-huh. Yeah. Well, you can just go ahead and download it if it's still in available.
Yeah. Yeah.
But that was, I didn't get to all of the points Sunday, and really trying to set a tone and a tenor for what was coming up this month, but in October. But I think the second point had to do with not being slothful
in business. It said not be slothful in business, but fervent in spirit.
But fervent, okay.
Yes, and you were talking about don't be lazy.
Don't be lazy.
Yes.
That's right.
You said that how do we go about pleasing God? We have to not be lazy in doing God's work.
Oh, okay. So, you took some notes?
I take a few notes from time
right,
to time.
All right. That's good.
And that, you know, people shouldn't have to call you to remind you to do your job.
That's right. That's
especially
right.
when it comes to the things of God. So, yes, don't be lazy. It says slothful. Slothful means sluggish or mm-hmm. slow.
Mm-hmm.
Slow
mm-hmm.
to act.
Right.
You gave another definition, though.
I did, and I don't remember exactly what it was,
okay,
because I went off the rail a couple of times yesterday with my comments, but I was being led by the Spirit,
mm-hmm,
because I really wanted to show people how important it was for, particularly as we go through this leadership training, how important for us as leaders to set the tone,
mm-hmm,
to be present, don't be late, tardy, and not give a reason why we can't attend, because some of the things that people are responsible for, it can fall apart just with one person being slowful.
Mm.
And so we have to make sure that everybody who's, first of all, signed up to be doing this for God, not for Pastor Murray or the soon-to-be Dr. Murray, but they're doing what they do, and God has called them to a specific work. And all of us have unique gifts that are important for us to be productive in the work that God has called us to do.
Amen. You yeah. might need to mention that on Thursday. That's part of our Leadership Institute.
That's you got
crossing it. Over into the Leadership
you got it
Institute.
Locked down. You got it locked down. Yeah. I know you got that. I don't even have to worry about it. But we're having a great time in our Institute for Leadership Training. We're in the third module. There are four modules that we're going through. We've already covered leadership. We've already covered discipleship. Lady Kim is, she started the stewardship aspect on last week. And so this Thursday, she'll be doing her second presentation in that module on stewardship. And so we're looking forward to that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Amen. But your third point was be excited. I don't think you got to be excited.
I really didn't, because
didn't
what did the
much.
Scripture say there? I think that's in verse 12 as well.
Yes, it says rejoicing in hope, mm-hmm, patient in tribulation, continuing instant in prayer.
Right, right. So that whole emphasis has to do with us being excited and not being dull in our witness and in our attempt to please God. And many times it goes back to remembering when we first came into the faith or how excited we were then. And all too often we look for the new people to be excited when they come to church.
Mm-hmm.
But we should lead that, and
lead
they should
the excitement.
Get a sense of it from mm-hmm. us and be willing to catch that. And the Lord added to the church on yesterday, I tell you.
Yes,
that was amazing.
Awesome.
Two
Wonderful.
Candidates for baptism. And it was just an amazing time in the Lord.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
It was great. God showed up and showed up.
That's right.
Yeah.
All right. Good to see each of you. We're going to switch over to the other platform and make sure we acknowledge those who are viewing on the Facebook side as well as the through the Bible app. I mean, not Facebook,
streaming.
But streaming side. But we praise God for each of you. We're in the Song of Solomon tonight. In the first chapter, this is really the introduction to this book as we have been studying the books of wisdom. And we're still looking at some of the episodes in the life of Solomon. But this book here is really one of those keepsakes where you can't rush through this one. You have to really spend some time in discerning the voice of God and then being clear in terms of what God is saying, because there are a lot of different kind of meanings that take place in the Song of Solomon. And a lot of it, Lady Kim, has to do with poetry. And then you see songs being expressed here. And Solomon, of course, he was one who wrote many songs. And the title, the Song of Songs, is like the Holy of Holies.
Okay.
When you think of that, it means the finest of all the songs.
Wow.
So even though Solomon had quite a few songs out there, this particular book would be considered the finest of all of his songs. And as I was thinking about that, Lady Kim, as we get into this first chapter and talk a little bit about the background here. The Bible is a book about relationships, and we know that God is a God of relationships, and there is no way we can get around. Y'all hear that train coming? There's no way we can get around the love of God. And God and his infinite love toward us, he included the full spectrum of everything that we perhaps might go through in order that we might see the kind of love that he has for us.
Amen.
And so I think even with this book, Song of Solomon, or the Song of Solomon, or the book Song of Solomon, or the Song of Songs, as it refers, you'll see that God did not leave out anything. He made sure that he had something relevant and something powerful here that would help. Some things right here is listed as a practical guideline for strengthening marriages, and to show how God's love, the godly love, should be expressed in marriage.
Amen.
Isn't that powerful?
That's powerful.
And
yes.
So there are four highlights there at the bottom that really kind of gives us some pointers that helps us to understand the importance and the significance of strengthening marriages, because we'll find out in this book that Solomon was going through a great deal of struggle and stress and trying to fully identify his love for his new bride.
Mm-hmm.
And he had at his disposal anybody that he wanted, or anything that he wanted, and his money was of such where he didn't have to want for anything.
Mm-hmm.
Including his desire for, one of the commentaries said that he loved beautiful women.
Mm-hmm.
He loved beautiful women. And this woman here that we're going to see was one who really captured his eye.
Mm-hmm.
To the point where he said, no, I got to have
this
her.
Is it, huh?
This is it. And I'm going to do whatever I need to do to bring her home with me.
Mm-hmm.
But those four points, Lady Kim, at the bottom,
mm-hmm.
that help strengthen, and I don't know if this might be for someone who's listening, and you know, many times people get to a point of ready to give up when they run into a little brick wall or a struggle, or they see things not going the way they think they should go. But these four pointers here, it says, give your spouse the attention he or she needs. Take time to truly know your spouse. And so we've been married now going on how many years, Lady Kim? 43.
Mm-hmm.
This year?
Yes.
It'll be this year, 43?
Yes, in December? 43 in a few months.
So I don't want to put you on the spot with that.
Yes, you do.
All right. Well,
no, I'm just
we're
kidding.
Still getting, and we're still knowing each other as we go through different things, and as even though we've known each other,
right,
there are still things that we begin to see in each other as we grow older. Would you agree with me on
absolutely
that? Did I phrase that right?
Yes.
Okay, you had that little Chicago South Side in your eye. I was trying to make sure.
In my eye?
Yeah, I saw that little Chicago look in there.
Okay.
But that was the first point, and then the next one was encouragement and praise, not criticism, are vital to a successful relationship.
Yeah, and that's key, because you know, I read where for every negative word
mm-hmm.
that's said, it takes 7 positive words to kind of undo that negative word. So you have to work extra hard, you know, saying positive things. You have to find positive things and encouraging things to say to a spouse, because after a while, things get to be, you know, mundane,
mm-hmm.
the same as usual.
Okay.
So you have to find encouraging words to encourage each other.
Okay. That's good. I like that. And then you'll hear about that later, but I like that one. All right,
me.
Whatever. Yeah, wow. Who said that? Boo. Where did that come from?
Okay.
But the third one was, we have to learn how to enjoy each other.
Right.
And I think that's key, because as you just indicated, many times you go through the same routines and you go through the same processes. And that's, I think he's trying to emphasize the fact, and we saw it earlier in Ecclesiastes, how Solomon found out that he had to enjoy life.
Mm-hmm.
And so this is really about making plans, being creative, being spontaneous, doing things, you know, without having to sit down and write a laundry list of where you want to go and all of that. But just get up and go, you know. And then he says, delight in God's gift of a married love, you know. So that's a little deeper than just making that statement, but there's a lot there to unpack, and we're not going to do that right now. But you had something you want to say?
No.
Okay, it's going to be like that tonight. All right. Do whatever is necessary to reassure commitment to your spouse. Mm-hmm. Isn't that powerful?
That is powerful right there.
So renew your vows, work through problems. Do not end a marriage with divorce as a solution.
Don't enter a marriage.
Yeah, don't enter. Yeah, don't enter. Because if you end it, that's usually it's going to probably end with a divorce in mind. But God intends for both the husband and the wife to live in a deeply peaceful, secure love. Mm-hmm. And I think a lot of times with those insecurities, people are threatened by what they see, and then they want to try to mirror somebody else's relationship and try to keep up with the Joneses. I know you were Jones at one time. Your name still is Jones, but it's Murray, right?
Yes, Murray.
Am I saying that right?
That's correct.
And so, but a lot of times people have a lot of insecurities, and we have to make sure that whatever it takes, whatever is necessary to reassure the commitment has to be present.
Mm-hmm. And I think those insecurities come from past relationships.
Okay.
When people leave relationships, when they leave bad relationships, mm-hmm. then they tend to bring baggage into the new relationship.
That's true.
And that's what it means about do not enter a marriage with divorce as a solution. Mm-hmm. Because a lot of people have divorced one spouse. Now when they enter the marriage, they're thinking, well, if it don't go right, then I'll just get a divorce.
Right.
But
right.
you should never enter a marriage, or you should never even enter a relationship with divorce as a solution or an option. Yeah, yeah, that should be the last, you know, that shouldn't even be a resort, period.
Right.
You
right.
know.
After you work through the steps and right. going through a process of healing and restoration, all of that takes place before you get to a point. And that does not say that people opt out and they decide to get divorced mm-hmm. for various reasons. But each couple has to be prayerful around their circumstances, because even though people might look at us and try to model their marriage or their relationship or whatever, they don't know some of the trials and some of the tribulations that has gotten us to where we are.
Amen.
And some people want to look at the glory without
knowing
the
story.
That's right.
That's right.
And
yes.
so we didn't just fall in out of the sky and get to where we are now.
Right.
But,
right.
We had some rough days, some food stamp days, some figuring out how we're gonna get to point A to point B days, and some rent days, and some was that a one bedroom or a two bedroom when we first got married?
Was it a two-bedroom
apartment, no furniture? We've been there, done that, and got all the little trinkets that go along with that journey. But it's a process, and it's a growing and a maturing together. And I think the writer is making sure that when we get ready to look at this, that we look at it in a sense of having maturity mm-hmm. and also spiritual discernment.
Mm-hmm. And I think Sister Gwen mentioned something about maturity. She said maturity brings about a change in a relationship.
That's right. That's right.
So as you mature, you ought to grow closer together.
That's
because
right.
you begin to understand each other.
Mm-hmm.
And you should be able to, where your partner is weak, mm-hmm. build on your strength, should build that weakness, and vice versa.
Okay.
You
okay.
know, and so your strengths or should complement the other person's weakness.
Okay, that's good mm-hmm. because all of us have issues. If there's no such thing as a perfect marriage or a perfect relationship, but it comes as a result of us working together through the issues, through the trials, through the difficult days, through the surgeries, through the doctor's negative reports, all of that helps to shape and develop and mature us to who God would have us to be.
And you know who's ruined that? Facebook, you know, Instagram, you know, because people only show the good side
of their relationship.
They don't show you the negative things about that relationship. Mm-hmm. And so we view Facebook and think people have such a perfect relationship and a perfect marriage.
Right, right.
But nobody has a perfect relationship or a perfect marriage. Everybody struggles in one area or another, or at some point in time or another. I forget the name of that book, this book, but it talked about the different seasons.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that marriage is just like
the four seasons.
It's not the four love languages. Oh, okay. It's another book. It talks about how relationships are like the four seasons. You're going to have summer where it's really hot.
Mm-hmm.
You're going to have winter where you and your partner, as far as the east is from the west. You know, you're going to have a fall where it's pretty cool and, you know, kind of riding along, you know. And then you're going to have a spring where, you know, it's really new things and new situations are going to occur.
Okay.
So marriage takes on those same types of characteristics or seasons as you go through. And you may be in one season longer than another. You know how this crazy weather is now. You
know,
it might be hot during the winter, you know, or maybe cold or cool during the summer or cold during the spring. I remember one time it snowed on Easter when we were in Chicago.
Yeah.
So, you know, and it was springtime. So just like the seasons of the year, relationships have those same seasons.
Okay. That's good. And so we're just setting the tone and the tenor for the Song of Solomon, and also referred to as Song of Songs, and just kind of setting the stage for what is happening here. And we want you to keep an open mind and be ask God to give you discernment, because there are different meanings that we will see coming out throughout this study. Some will be literal, others will be historical, some will be practical, and I like the practical aspect of it, where we can really put that into practice and allow it to be something that we can hold on to, a handle or two, if you will, that will help us in our relationships. And so it's also a typical meaning that we'll see coming out here, but the practical ones really gives us what you might consider a vivid picture of faithful love and deepening communion.
Mm.
And so with that being said, it has to go through cycles or seasons in order for you to get to that place. And if you give up, you get off, you jump off the wagon before then, you might miss out on what God ultimately had at the end of whatever it was, you know, you were ready to give up on.
And isn't the Bible a beautiful book in that it takes a whole book in the Bible to talk specifically about love and relationships?
Right.
You know, and the Song of Solomon or Song of Songs does just that. And we're going to see some vivid displays or images of love in the Song of Solomon.
All right. Well, there are only 17 verses there in the first chapter. And the authorship, of course, is attributed to Solomon. And we see that this is a classic. This perhaps will be what is considered to be the finest of all of his songs. And this is classified, as you already indicated, the book is full of symbols and images. And it requires maturity as well as spiritual discernment. And that's one of the gifts I think people kind of overshadow or not take as seriously as they should. The gift of discernment, you know. And so we won't stick on the gifts, because we don't need to do that tonight. Y'all, you're going to have to take care of that Thursday, right?
The gifts?
Yeah. the stewardship and your stewardship presentation.
Yes.
Huh. You don't need a gift for that. Is that a gift? Giving is a gift.
Yes,
it is a gift.
Mm-hmm,
mm-hmm. That's what I'm talking about.
Yes.
And see, if we go down that, if we go into the gifts, we end up being there for a minute and not really fully getting through these 17 verses.
Okay. All right.
You got some more comments?
Sister Gwen said, what God has joined together has a lot to do with the relationship. Man's knowledge leaves a lot to be desired.
Okay, that's powerful there.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Thank you, Sister Gwen.
Well, God is joined together.
That's right.
Yes.
All right. Okay. So anything else you want to lift up as we prepare to go into this first chapter?
One more thing quickly that, you know, we talked about, you know, the imagery, and some commentaries state that the Song of Solomon, this love story, you know, kind of relates to God and his love for Israel,
mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Jesus for his and his love for the church.
Okay.
You know, so I think there was one more too, but I can't think of what it is. It was God and Israel, Christ's love for the church, and it shows how pure it is in a covenant marriage.
Uh-huh.
So that's the kind of love that it's talking about.
Okay. All right. So this book can be broken down into three different sections as
mm-hmm.
well. And as you just indicated, the first part would deal with that part that happens before the wedding and the
mm-hmm.
bride getting ready for that, and the whole process that leads to them making plans and getting ready for a life together.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Anything else?
Well, you talked about the first one, or you?
Huh? Yeah, that was the first one.
Yeah, and the second section is the wedding, and
mm-hmm.
where the husband, you know, praises his bride, and where the bride invites him to come to her. And then in the third section, it's about the maturing marriage, where they go through difficult times, but things end happily
mm-hmm.
as lovers reunite.
Okay.
So, you know, this love is between Solomon and the Shulamite woman.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
His wife.
That's right.
Mm-hmm.
And even though in that day and time and in the culture, Solomon had at his disposal concubines and wives of his choice and all of that, something went off, a light went off when he saw this young lady, and he decided that was the covenant that he really wanted to get involved in.
Mm-hmm. And I think that happens to every man at some point. Yes, because, you know, most men, you know, when they date women, they but when they finally meet the one,
mm-hmm.
you know, and they understand this is the one.
Okay.
And then that covenant relationship takes place. Because, you know, the woman always going to be ready to get married.
Is that right?
To jump the broom. Most of the time.
You think so?
Yeah, most of the time women are in it for a long-term relationship.
Okay.
And
okay.
So, but the man.
So
is
you
the
were
one
you ready to get married when you laid your eyes on me? And you,
not when I laid my eyes on you.
I'm going to get myself in trouble. I need to stop.
Stop while you can.
Well,
no.
You know, I have a version of the whole episode of.
Yeah, you have your version.
I know. But I'm not going.
You're not going to go there tonight.
No, I want you to go ahead and talk about what you're talking about, because this is good. Even though we haven't gotten into the verses yet, I think it sets the tone for what we'll see.
Come on,
somebody say, stop, cut it, Pastor. Don't try to sing, don't say no more. But no, it sets the tone for what is happening here. And many times people will read this book and not deal with the actual practicality of what's happening and how to relate it to their own lives.
Mm-hmm.
And so there are ups and downs, there are trials and tribulation. And you were talking about, it was almost like love at first sight for them.
Right.
That's what you
yes.
were really kind of making reference to.
Right.
And how the man oftentimes is the one who's kind of straggling along to
mm-hmm.
make the kind of commitment that a
right.
woman might
That's
already
it.
Have. before he comes to that realization that this is the one and this is the person, and I sure hope he go ahead and do what he's supposed to do because I'm ready.
Right.
I'm just paraphrasing what you said.
Right.
Okay.
That's it.
So you want me to talk about that then?
Dr. Crystal said, Dr. Murray, you know that Lady Kim is going to tell the truth.
Oh, Lord. Here we go. See, y'all haven't heard my version. That's her version.
I'll let him tell you his version.
No, I'm not going to tell the people how you ran me down. And I just finally gave in and said, well, all right, I'll marry you. But I'm not going to, how you proposed to me. And I'm just go ahead and marry you.
They're wearing you out on here. They're wearing you out on here. They said, don't think so well of yourself, Pastor, all capital letters. Pastor, please, this was your distraction yesterday.
That's right.
Marquis said, talk about it, Reverend.
That's right. But I did get sidetracked yesterday because I was in that point I was trying to make is how faithful and committed and dedicated you are, even though you're carrying tremendous weight with your responsibilities. And I was trying to use that in reference to how important it is for us leaders, and particularly in the body of Christ, to have that kind of commitment to what we have been called to do. Mm-hmm. And so you come in the house taking off one hat and putting on another, and you full-time in school and full-time work, full-time taking care of Pastor and all of that, you know. And so that's a major. But I was trying to make sure that the people understood how much I appreciated you and how
I'm sure they did.
Okay, that's why I was going with that. And, yeah. But that was not in my notes. That was not a part. Just like when I was talking about Sister Georgia.
Right. Yeah.
She was not in there, and I had not planned to, and I didn't know she was not going to be there. But I was trying to pull out illustrations for people to see. That's practical.
Yes.
For them to understand the importance of their commitment
and dedication. And she's one of many.
She's faithful.
She's faithful, and she's one of many.
That's right.
Because there are many who are faithful, but, you know, like you said, you just used her as an example.
Right.
But she's one of many that are faithful. But we can just look around the church and you know, there's a 80-20 rule that 20% of the people do 80% of the work, you know. Mm-hmm. And sometimes it's not even a 80-20 rule. It might
be a
90-10 rule.
That's right.
But we should all have that commitment,
right,
you know, towards the work of Christ.
Right.
And to do it. And you know what? If we all did our job,
it
would lighten the load for everybody.
That's right.
But we digressed from...
No, but that's good. And people need to hear that because some people didn't hear that illustration, because it's important, particularly when God has called you or given you an assignment. Mm-hmm. It shouldn't be forceful. Mm-hmm. It should be something that you do with joy, mm-hmm, and you are committed, not to the person, but to God.
Right.
And many times I think people get that mixed up, because if I don't acknowledge what you're doing, then some people will get an attitude and maybe want to leave the church. Mm. So pastors, they never say nothing about me, but it's not about a person. Right.
Particular person.
Right, right. Mm. Okay, all right. So is that a good segue, or do we need to?
That's a good segue.
All right, okay. So what we'll do, and we have a few more minutes left, we'll go ahead and read the 17 verses in the Song of Solomon, the first chapter. You have some more comments? All right. Who is that? Sister Gwen?
What did she say?
I can't see. I can barely see.
She said, we get it, Pastor. Taking care of you requires major effort.
Oh, Lord. Did I say that? All right. We'll
take care of that lady in person.
Right. That's right.
Okay.
Did Dr. Crystal comment on anything there?
No, she didn't.
Okay. I thought she may. If you have a comment, Dr. Crystal, feel free to go ahead and put it in the box. We're going to stop when you put that in there, and we'll express that.
Okay.
All right.
So are we beginning with the Song of Solomon?
We are.
The first verse?
How many chapter.
How many verses?
We can read maybe the first 10 and then see where we are.
Okay.
All right.
The Song of Solomon, chapter 1, verse 1. The Song of Songs, which is Solomon's.
Mm-hmm.
Let him kiss me with the kisses of his mouth. For your love is better than wine because of the fragrance of your good ointments. Your name is ointment poured forth. Therefore, the virgins love you. Draw me away. The daughters of Jerusalem, we will run after you. The Shulamite, the king, has brought me into his chambers. The daughters of Jerusalem, we will be glad and rejoice in you, and will remember your love more than wine. The Shulamite, rightly do they love you. I am dark but lovely, O daughters of Jerusalem, like the tents of Kedar, like the curtains of Solomon. Do not look upon me because I am dark, because the sun has tanned me. My mother's sons were angry with me. They made me the keeper of the vineyards. But my own vineyard I have not kept to her beloved. Tell me, O you whom I love, where you feed your flock, where you make it rest at noon. For why should I be as one who veils herself by the flocks of your companions? The beloved, if you do not know, O fairest among women, follow the footsteps of the flock and feed your little goats beside the shepherd's tent. I have compared you, my love, to my filly among Pharaoh's chariots.
Mm-hmm.
Your cheeks are lovely with ornaments, your neck with chains of gold.
That's verse number 10?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, all right. So when you look at these first 10 verses in this first chapter of Song of Solomon, you see how it's getting to be very descriptive
mm-hmm.
in terms of this Shulamite woman expressing how she actually feels and what she anticipates.
Mm-hmm.
And I like the way you were reading that because it captured that emotion
mm-hmm.
of what she perhaps was feeling and how she was trying to make sure that it was understood by Solomon.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And so she talks about the ointment, good ointment, thy name is, and an ointment poured forth, therefore do virgins love thee. So talking about the fragrance, talking about the perfume, and talking about how the females were attracted to that,
mm-hmm.
and also talking about how precious that was, and it was a godly fragrance,
mm-hmm.
and so we should exude a godly fragrance. And I think the old saying that you catch more
flies with honey
than you do with vinegar. Yeah, and so it is. Even when we shouldn't be trying to impress people with the outward, but it should be something that happens.
That exudes from the inside
that
out.
Really gets mm-hmm. people to know who you are and what you're all about. And mm-hmm. so those are the first couple of verses that she really kind of begins to make expressions about her feelings.
Mm-hmm. And you know what? One of the things I like is right here in the fifth verse,
Okay.
When it talks about, I am black but comely,
mm-hmm.
O ye daughters of Jerusalem,
mm-hmm.
as the tents of Kedar, as the curtains of Solomon. So this is one instance, one of the very few instances in the Bible where she actually describes herself as a black woman.
Okay.
You know, and she says she's black, or brown colored from sunburn,
mm-hmm.
like the black tribe of Kedar, the tribe of the nomads.
That's right.
Tribe of the nomads. She addresses the daughters of Jerusalem, you know. Tents are curtains of the curtains of Solomon.
Mm-hmm.
So she's addressing, making it known that she is a dark-skinned woman.
Okay. So a lot of people miss that interpretation, but it's hard not to fully discern that if you're mature enough to see it. Because even in the next verse, verse number 6, she continues in that same vein. And so it's obvious then that Solomon he found a black beauty.
Mm-hmm.
Wouldn't you agree?
Yes.
And that she was described here as one who was beautiful. And in verse number 6, look not upon me because I am black, because the sun has looked upon me, my mother's children. Is that what it says?
It says my mother's children, yes, were angry with me.
Mm-hmm.
They make me the keeper of the vineyard, but my own vineyard I have not kept.
So what do you think she's talking about there?
She was saying that not to look upon her with disdain because of her blackish complexion working in the sun. So, you know, she was the keeper of the vineyard, but not her own vineyard. It states that she was not an Egyptian.
Mm-hmm.
She was
mm-hmm.
not an Egyptian. She
okay.
wasn't from Africa.
Okay.
Even her siblings or her mother's children were angry with her and using her as a slave to work in the vineyard. So
mm-hmm.
it's saying that her skin was tan from the sun, but she was still a dark-skinned beauty.
That's right.
Still a black beauty.
Right, right. That's right. That's right. All right, well, anything else that jumps out in those first 10 verses? Do we have any comments flowing through there?
No.
No comments. And so I think this is very descriptive. Huh?
I was trying to see if there were comments on the streaming side.
Okay. These first 10 verses are very descriptive, and it's set in the tone for how this Shulamite is being introduced, and how... it's setting the tone for what is to come in terms of their relationship getting to a place where they are ready to get married. Because she had some other insecurities, I would use that word, in terms of leaving her home when Solomon was trying to get her to go to the palace with him. But he was willing to wait on her and be patient with that whole process so that it wouldn't be something that she would continue to have in her mind.
So he loved that Shulamite
that's
woman,
right,
didn't
he? That's right. That's right.
he patiently waited for her.
He waited.
Yes.
All right. Well, let's read. If there are no more comments, let's read from 10 to 17, and then let's see if we can't kind of wrap this up, because our time is getting away from us. It's 10 minutes to the hour, and we want to go ahead and close out this first chapter tonight.
Okay, we will make you ornaments of gold with silver, with studs of silver. While the king is at his table, my spikenard sends forth its fragrance. A bundle of myrrh is my beloved to me, that lies all night between my breasts. My beloved is to me a cluster of henna blooms in the vineyards of En Gedi. Behold, you are fair, my love. Behold, you are fair. You have dove's eyes. Behold, you are handsome, my beloved. Yes, pleasant. Also, our bed is green. The beams of our houses are cedar, and our rafters are fir.
Okay. So she's really continued to be descriptive in terms of expectations. And I see a lot of anticipation here, because talking about the fragrances again, and talking about the jewels, and then talking about how he is being described to her in terms of the fragrance and also the natural beauty that she presented. Did I say that right?
Yes.
Okay.
And you know, when he talked about the bundle of myrrh was a costly fragrance.
Mm-hmm.
It was bitter to the taste, but sweet to the smell.
Okay.
And it was among the best perfumes.
Mm-hmm.
So her beloved is most precious to her, or most comfortable to her. The myrrh would lie around, all around at night. The myrrh would lie around her neck and into her body. So, you know, it was all around them at night. That's what I'm trying to say.
Okay. All right. You said a mouthful there. I was following you with that. All right. So that was the latter part of verse number...
That was number 13.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Okay. And so the other part of it leading up to verse 17 is pretty much descriptive. And what we see here is really the conversation between the Shunammite and the daughters of Jerusalem.
Right.
Wouldn't you agree?
Yes.
And so she's excited. She's expressive in terms of what attracted her to Solomon and the things that she remembered and how she longed to be in that place with him.
Mm-hmm.
And they are making preparation now to continue their relationship and join together in marriage.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. All right, so how would we kind of wrap this up as we prepare to close out tonight, Lady Kim, the first chapter?
That this book about love, or this love book, is symbolic in a lot of ways.
Okay.
But it also lets us know how Christ's love for the church is.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of the same imagery,
okay,
that is used here is used as Christ's love for the church.
Okay. That's good. And so, as I said earlier before we actually got started, it also gives us a clear indicator that God loves us so much that he wants to be inclusive in everything that we have to endure. And he has a word to say about whatever it is we're going through. And many times we have to search it out and find it. It's in the Bible. It's a book about relationships, and God is a God of relationships. And so we are people of relationships. And so he's covering the full spectrum of issues, and has a word to say about behavior and gives us some practical handles in order for us to be productive. I know that was part of my sermon Sunday,
yes,
but I just thought I'd throw that in.
Yeah. Well, that's good. Do we have any prayer requests or praise reports on tonight? If you would put those in the chat as we get ready to close, we would appreciate it. We have about 5 more minutes.
Mm-hmm.
And so if you have anything that you would like to lift up in prayer, just let us know so we can do that on tonight.
You have some other requests from already that you want to lift up. Is that right?
That's correct. We want to lift up Sister Donna Smith in the loss of her father, Early Taylor. And that funeral is this coming Saturday at Greater Shiloh in South Haven, Mississippi. And also we want to continue to lift up Brother Pearl Manning, Sister Pearl Manning, I'm sorry, in the loss of her brother.
Mm-hmm.
That funeral was this past Saturday. And that Mother Pearl is Sister Georgia Rucker's mother. And so that was Sister Georgia's uncle that passed away. So
that's
we want to lift up that entire family. And we have one, please pray for Brandon and Prentice Hamilton. Sister Vendora asked for prayers for her sons, Prentice and Brandon. And also Dr. Crystal was asking prayers for the upcoming regional assembly for the Tennessee region, which will take place October, I think the 7th and 8th.
Yes.
So
Nashville.
Coming up in a couple of weeks in Nashville. All right.
Anything else?
That's all right now.
Okay. Well, we're certainly grateful for each of you. Lady Kim is getting ready to close us out with prayer. And for next week, we want you to go ahead and read that second chapter of Song of Solomon and other requests are yet coming in. I think there are about, for a total of about 8 chapters in this particular book, but we're going to just move through slowly and cover a chapter per night so that we won't get too far ahead. And then if we have something that comes up, we can still be able to come back and pick that up.
Okay, we're getting a lot of prayer requests in.
Okay.
Jerry Perkins is a praise report. He continues to improve. That's wonderful. Amen. All right.
What about Brother Jefferson?
I have Eddie and Dorothy Foster and health concerns. All yes. Right. This coming Thursday, don't forget the Leadership Institute. I think we've already remembered that, but spoken about that several times during this Bible study at 6 o'clock p.m. This is Module 3, the second session from Module 3 on stewardship. And so please check your emails for this week's information. And if there are no others, we'll go to God in prayer on tonight.
Okay.
Amen. God, we thank you for this time of Bible study. We thank you that you allow us to approach your throne of grace and mercy to lift up our prayer concerns. We thank you, O God, for Brother Jerry Perkins and his continued health improvements. We ask, O God, your blessings to continue to be upon him as you strengthen him during this time of his life. We lift up the Robertson family to you, God. Whatever concerns they may have, oh God, we ask in the name of Jesus that you would just intervene and that you would lift up each family member individually and meet every need. We pray for Eddie and Dorothy Foster, God, and their impending health concerns. We know you to be a healer tonight,
yes, God.
Yes, and
God.
So we thank you, oh God, that you can do anything but fail. God, we lift up the Key family to you, God, in the loss of their family member. We ask that you would hold them in the hollow of your hand, oh God. We ask that you would just also lift up the Mother Pearl Manning and her family, and also Sister Donna Smith in the loss of her father. We ask that you would continue to keep them, oh God, and make your presence known in their lives as they prepare for the homegoing of their loved ones and as they put their loved ones to rest, to their final rest. We thank you for their lives, and we ask that you would continue, oh God, to meet every need in their lives, and that you would give them the peace that surpasseth all understanding. We thank you tonight, God, for Prentice and Brandon Hamilton, God. Whatever their need might be, God, we ask that you would look over them and take care of them, God. Father God, we lift up a special prayer for the region of Tennessee,
yes,
and the
God. Yes,
regional
God.
Assembly that will take place in a few weeks. We ask that your choicest blessings be upon it, God. We ask for traveling grace and mercy for every participant that's going to come to that regional assembly, Lord. And we ask that you would lead us and guide us by your Holy Spirit as we plan for the region of Tennessee and the future things that are to come. Strengthen us, O God, and make us a strong region on your behalf, God.
Thank you, God.
Bring us closer together as sister churches,
yes,
in Christ Jesus. Let us
region
work together, God.
Thank you, God.
We thank you for Dr. Crystal,
yes,
God, and
God.
Her leadership,
thank
God.
You,
and
God.
We ask that you would continue to strengthen her tonight, God. We bless you and we honor you for good leadership, God. We ask your choicest blessings to be upon her life, that she lack no good thing as a result of her committing her life to your work in your region that you have chosen for her. We thank you, God, for all that you've done, all that you're doing, and all that you will do. We lift up our pastor to you, Dr. Murray, God. We ask that you would continue to strengthen him tonight, God. And God, we know that you, God, are a God of promise. We know that you are a God of blessings. We know that you are a God who sits high but looks low. We know you are a God who fails not. So we thank you, God, and we ask that you will continue to be with us until we meet again. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Praise God.
Amen.
All right. Don't forget the leadership this Thursday at 6 o'clock, Institute. Right?
And the leadership meeting for this Saturday has been canceled.
That's right.
That's the leadership meeting on the first Saturday that we have, the first Saturday of the month. It is canceled for this Saturday due to the funerals this Saturday.
Yeah.
Yes.
Right. All right. Well, thank y'all for joining us tonight, and we hope that you have an enjoyable rest of the evening as we're in the fall of the year.
Yes, it feels good outside.
It does. And
good night, everybody.
Be blessed.
Glad to see y'all. Glad y'all can see us. Bye.